Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the wisdom of God and the foolishness of the cross. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been talking about how much God's ways are different than our ways. God doesn't act in a way at times we might expect him to act. And on Monday, I gave a little reflection on the Feast of the Assumption, really Mary's role in God's plan and how God defies all odds, you might say, or all expectation as the most significant event in the history of the world takes place in the incarnation of Jesus, in the spiritual battle that Jesus came to fight, to destroy the kingdom of darkness, to bring it down, and to bring salvation to the world. God's first choice is he chooses Mary. And Mary says yes. And she wasn't a queen at the time. You know, she wasn't the wife of a great king or world leader. She didn't have a lot of power, influence. She was basically hidden. But she had great power, the kind of power that comes from God. A power that is able to cooperate with God and not get in God's way. God's power is able to be worked through her because of her humility. And as a result, God does great things, amazing things. And then he crowns this work that he began in Mary through the Assumption. She's taken up into heaven and she's crowned queen of heaven and earth. It's a great wonder. It's such a wonder to behold the idea and the reality of what God has accomplished for the salvation of the world through this simple woman. Our ways are not aligned with God's ways. So often, Scripture says his ways are not our ways. And he saved the world, Paul tells us through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and following. He saved the world through foolishness. What the world would consider foolish, what the wise in this world consider foolishness. I reflected yesterday on this section, verse 18 and following from chapter 1 of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I'll read it again. Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart." Here's something God has to do in order to save us. He has to destroy our wisdom. That is the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the wise that said, look, I got what I need. I already know all that needs to be known of significance for my life. Or God has to deal with the cleverness of the clever, Paul says. He has to thwart it. He has to just get rid of it because it's separating us from God. We're filled with foolishness. We don't need God. We're fine on our own. Our only hope here really is our own resources. Any kind of success I have in this world or things that happen is a human achievement. It's mine. Even though we hide from the fundamental questions like, how the heck did I get here in the first place? Why am I here? What is the point of this whole life? Why do I care about things beyond this world? Why do I care about wanting to live beyond this world? Why do I care about eternal things? Why does the human race throughout its entire history have this longing inside, some connection to God, a God-directedness in some way, but yet at the same time feeling very separated? Somebody explain all this to me. People just suppress it, don't want to deal with it. Yet we boast about our own cleverness and our own wisdom and rely on our own understanding so often and ignore God. I mean, our culture is doing it more and more as God gets pushed further and further from the human horizon. And humanity just says, no, no, no. We're done with that foolish thing we all used to cling to. What we have is our own resources. We have our own scientific discoveries. We have our own technology. We have our own capacities. And we're unlimited in what we can do and where we can travel and what can happen with the human race. That's man's wisdom. And it's all going to end under God's judgment. It's all going to end in dust and ashes. Everybody who pounds their chests and boasts are all going to die in our sin if we don't repent and come to receive God's wisdom in his Son. But what prevents the human heart so often from coming to God and accepting God for who he is and his plan of salvation is human pride. I mean, who wants to align themselves with a crucified Messiah? Who wants to submit their heart, mind, soul, and strength to another person? Who wants to live in obedience? To the proud, that sounds like enslavement. Right? Paul goes on. Where's the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. This is the key sentence I spoke about yesterday. What we really need is we don't just need knowledge for artificial intelligence. We don't need just more knowledge about the material world. And having it is fine. It's fantastic. But what we most need and what we were made for is knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God that's experiential, that we know the living God. And we come through grace, through God's wisdom, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, understanding what happened in the life of Jesus and his death on the cross, that we have now the opportunity to have real knowledge about God and real experiential knowledge and to come into a relationship with God and to become his sons and his daughters. This is saving knowledge. This is God's wisdom that saves the human race. Paul goes on, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Greeks had respect for wisdom. But Christ is God's perfect wisdom. And God's perfect wisdom is revealed in the cross, which is totally confounding to the human mind, to the naked eye. How could this be wisdom? This is the epitome of failure, of humiliation. Paul goes on, verse 26, for consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to the flesh. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what the world calls foolish. He didn't come to see who had the best bloodlines, had the most money, had the most influence, had the most power. He didn't come thinking, boy, I have to gather those people together or this project, this mission I'm sending my son on will never be accomplished unless we get their help, the help of the important people, the smart people, right? The powerful people. God doesn't need our strength. Our strength is nothing, right, before God. We're radically dependent creatures. And that's not something to hate or despise or to be angry about before God, which that kind of anger is deep within the human heart, the fallen human heart. We resist our being creatures. We resist on having to be dependent upon God. And we hate the fact that we're not the source of our own meaning and our own creation. Even though we work day and night to try to make that claim and to assert our own meaning in the world, it's just made up. If it comes from me, it's made up. The only thing that will satisfy eternal creatures, the eternal creatures that we are, is eternal wisdom, the eternal wisdom of God. And the truth that comes from him, being united to God is humanity's only hope. It's sanity itself. So Paul's reminding us, look, this early community that he's writing to here, and he's reminding them, look, not many of you are wise and powerful and influential, and they certainly knew that, because the gospel really initially went out to the margins of society. It was rejected by the rich and the powerful, for the most part, and religious leaders, for that matter, who were stumbling over it, as St. Paul said, over God's wisdom. They knew they weren't of noble birth and of powerful, of people of power and influence. But he said, pay attention. It's not an accident that you know this. God chooses what is weak in this world, what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh might boast in the presence of God. This is a profoundly important principle of God's plan and economy that is good for each one of us to internalize and to grasp. It's part of having a renewed mind, understanding God's purpose here. God, as Paul said earlier in this section, God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He has to, because if we rely only on our own wisdom, it doesn't bring knowledge of him and it won't save us. He has to break the power of the pride that has a hold of our mind so we can begin to see what God sees and value what God values and understand who we are in the light of God in God's revelation. And to break the radical autonomy that the human heart often seeks. Autonomy from God, to be completely, utterly self-reliant, create our own reality, create our own truth, all of that. That's all part of human pride. And we lean on it as if that's our hope. God has to destroy that. And so he's done it. In this way, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh might boast in the presence of God. Humanity cannot save itself. Friends, it doesn't matter how many rockets we'll be able to send to planets throughout the cosmos, how many people could potentially live on other planets. It doesn't matter how big our businesses get or how big our homes get, how much we financially prosper, how prestigious our universities. It doesn't ultimately matter, those things, because it's all going to pass away. As good as it is, it's a reflection of what human beings are capable of because they're created in God's image and likeness. But it's not enough. And if we boast in it, we're going to die in it, right? If we're going to boast in it, we're going to rely on it, and we're going to act as if we don't need God, which is the epitome of foolishness. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That all flesh might not boast before God. It's the humble that receive the folly of the cross. And the folly of the cross is the power of God. God's wisdom is revealed. God's eternal plan that was hidden for ages of revealing himself. And in that revelation, saving the world. It's saving wisdom. It's eternal wisdom. It's wisdom that gives life. It's life transforming, and it's revealed perfectly in Jesus. Verse 30 here. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So we like to boast. The important thing is knowing what to boast in. If we boast in ourselves, we're going to die in our sin and it's foolishness. But boast in God the way Our Lady did, right? In her great prayer, you know, she rejoiced in the Lord. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She's like, look what he's done for me. And what he's done for Mary, he wants to do in you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.